Today we celebrate Elizabeth Ann Seton, and that's actually the church where my parents and my sister go these days in Texas. And as you all know from me by now, sometimes I kind of like to share something that comes in some parts of the Liturgy of the Hours, just because I find them so illuminating at times. And I often think that we don't always get great exposure to great spiritual reading and different things that our saints have written. Sometimes we get chunks of it here and there, but unless often we do that in personal study, we don't often get to hear these things. And so this is actually from the second reading from the Office of Readings this morning for St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And this was from a conference to her spiritual daughters that was given to them by her. And it was basically, the title was, Our Daily Work is to Do the Will of God. And so I'd like to read this to all of you today. I will tell you what is my own great help. I once read or heard that an interior life means but the continuation of our Savior's life in us, that the great object of all his mysteries is to merit for us the grace of his interior life and communicate it to us, it being the end of his mission to lead us into the sweet land of promise, a life of constant union with himself. And what was the first rule of our dear Savior's life? You know it was to do his Father's will. Well then, the first end I propose in our daily works is to do the will of God. Secondly, to do it in the manner he wills. And thirdly, to do it because it is his will. I know that his will is by those who direct me. Whatever they bid me do, if it is ever so small in itself, is the will of God for me. And what she's kind of describing there is often the obedience that she would have to her own superiors, just like my own obedience to Archbishop Sample or whoever is the bishop of the Archdiocese of Portland. Then to do it in the manner he wills it, not sowing an old thing as if it were new, or new things as if it were old, not fretting because the oven is too hot or in a fuss because it is too cold. You understand, not flying and driving because you are hurried, not creeping like a snail because no one pushes you. Our dear Savior was never in extremes. The third object is to do his will because God wills it. That is to be ready to quit at any moment and to do anything else to which you may be called. You think it very hard to lead a life of such restraint unless you keep your eye of faith always open. Perseverance is a great grace. To go on gaining and advancing every day, we must be resolute and bear and suffer as our blessed forerunners did. Which of them gained heaven without a struggle? What are our real trials? By what name shall we call them? One cuts herself out a cross of pride, another one of causeless discontent, another one of restless impatience or peevish fretfulness. But is the whole any better than children's play, if looked at with the common eye of faith? Yet we know certainly that our God calls us to a holy life, that he gives us every grace, every abundant grace. And though we are so weak of ourselves, this grace is able to carry us through every obstacle and difficulty. But we lack courage to keep a continual watch over nature, and therefore year after year, with our thousand graces multiplied resolutions and fair promises, we run around in a circle of misery and imperfections. After a long time in the service of God, we come nearly to the point from whence we set out, and perhaps with even less ardor for penance and mortification than when we began our consecration to him. You are now in your first set out. Be above the vain fears of nature and efforts of your enemy. You are children of eternity. Your immortal crown awaits you, and the best of fathers waits there to reward your duty and love. You may indeed sow here in tears, but you may be sure there to reap in joy. God bless you all today.